And now, coming to you from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting throughout the multiverse, the Nine Realms, Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, Nidavellir, basically anywhere that has the internet, really, we proudly present Radio Free Asgard.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 208 of the Only Thor podcast, hosted by a true descendant of Odin. My name is Tom Harris, and I'm coming at you, as always, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois, where it is hot as Muspelheim around here. Oh, God, it's hot. Oh, yeah. Well, happy Labor Day weekend to everybody who is in the U.S. and knows what Labor Day is, but God, is it hot. And sticky and uncomfortable, and it's exactly what I hate about Chicago summers. Is it's just horrible. But at least I got a massage this weekend, so yeah, it was awesome. Significantly more relaxed than I was earlier. But yeah, times like this when I so miss Iceland. I really, really miss Iceland right now. And of course, I don't have a whole lot else to say here at the top of the show, because obviously we had a mythology episode last week, and now it's back to the grind, back to Girl Thor, and this week we are covering Thor number 4. So let's just go ahead and move along to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold
And like I said, we are covering Thor number 4. Has a cover date of March 2015. Cover price, $3.99. Cover art is by Russell Dowderman and Matthew Wilson. Shows Thor, that is Girl Thor, facing off against the real Thor. Thor Odinson himself, and Thor's carrying his axe, Gjallbjorn, and he's got a metal arm, which I guess we're going to see him get that in this issue. And it's a nice cover. It's an unusual angle that you have people charging each other and fighting each other. So it actually is really, really dynamic cover, and I like it a lot. Opening up to the splash page, we get a recap, of course. After Thor, Odinson found himself no longer worthy of wielding Mjolnir, a mysterious woman was able to lift the enchanted hammer and became the new goddess of thunder. And just in time, too, because the dark elf sorcerer Malekith has teamed up with the frost giants of Jotunheim to launch an assault on the Roxxon Energy Corporation in search of the skull of the last great king of Jotunheim, Laufey. Dario Agger, CEO of Roxxon, was hiding more than ancient artifacts and shady business deals. He could also transform into a half-man, half-bull beast, the monstrous Minotaur of legend. So a dark elf, a minotaur, and the new Thor walk into a bar. Except instead of a bar, it's a secret vault containing the skull of a giant king that has the power to plunge the 10 realms into war. What could go wrong? Well, plenty. Chiefly, the disgraced Thor Odinson showing up too. And he really wants that hammer back. And we get the same weird picture of Girl Thor that we saw in issue 1 with the very swollen shoulder. And title of the story is Thor versus Thor. Jason Aaron was the writer. Russell Dowderman was the artist. Matthew Wilson is the colorist. VC's Joe Sabino was the letterer and production person. The cover was done by Russell Dowderman and Matthew Wilson. And the variant cover artists are Salvador La Roca and Israel Silva. John Moisan is the assistant editor. Will Moss, the editor. Axel Alonso, the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada is the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley is the publisher. Alan Fine is the executive producer. Thor created by Stan Lee, Larry Lieber, and Jack Kirby. And we go on to the story here, and we are in Asgardia, the city of the gods, and we get some little bit of narration here. In my time, I have known war and hell and Ragnarok. I have bled enough to fill oceans. I have died. For more years than there are stars, I have walked these many realms, facing horrors that could drive even a god to utter madness. But this, maybe the worst week of my life. And we realize it's Thor that's speaking, and he wakes up in his chambers in Asgardia, and there's this sort of, I don't know, doctor or priest or something, and it looks like this bald woman or dude, it's hard to tell which, with these giant pieces of macaroni on its head. It's very strange. And he wakes up and he's all angry. Where the hell is my arm? And Odin is there.
In the belly of a whale, most like. After your foolish little stunt, you are lucky there is anything left of you, boy. If your goat hadn't dragged you back here to Asgardia, you'd still be rotting in the bottom of the sea in Midgard.
And Thor's like, Midgard, Malekith and the Frost Giants. Father, how long have I been out? What has happened to the earth?
Your all-father Odin cares not. Midgard is not our...
And he's interrupted by his ravens talking to him either side.
Blood, ice, elves, skull, blood.
Damned birds, I should have you baked into a pie.
And Thor's getting up out of bed. Never mind the arm. Where is Yarnbjorn? Someone bring me my axe.
I thought you might say that, says Odin. But I will not have the heir to my throne fumbling around like a common cripple. You have been sleeping for many hours, Thor. Long enough for me to send word to the finest blacksmiths in all the realms. I am told you know of this dwarf.
And we have a familiar face arriving. Yes, it is Screwbeard, if you recall, from back in the League of Realms storyline in Thor God of Thunder. And he's being followed by two giant elephant cow things. And they are carrying some sort of a yoke. And who knows what they're carrying. But anyway, it's Screwbeard.
Aye, he knows Screwbeard, son of no ears, son of head wound. Screwbeard of Dynamite Dwarves of the Scornheim Mountains. Sworn brother of Thor in League of Realms. Hail, God of Thunders. Screwbeard brings gift from Dwarves of Nidavellir.
And we see that the these cow elephant things are hauling a tiny, tiny little wagon. And in it is a metal arm.
Screwbeard bring new arm, better than puny old arm, forged a black Uru in the same furnaces where was born mighty Mjolnir, took 1,000 dwarves to pound into shape. Even after all stars turn to dust, we'll still be this arm.
And Thor walks over and he picks the arm up and he says, you honor me, Screwbeard.
Aye, Screwbeard does. Now try the arm, see if it's strong enough to lift mead. Screwbeard thirsty.
You've come at a dark hour, my friend. I'm afraid this is no time for mead. Not with Midgard still in peril. I must go and find my goats.
And Odin interrupts.
Thor, there are things that have happened since you fell. Things you should know before you...
Not now, father. You will have to wait until I've... Your hammer has gone missing.
What?
Thor is aghast.
And so has your mother.
And Odin looks a little serious here. And Thor does not look happy at all. And we then shift scenes back to Roxxon Island. And we see, looks like the ice is all melting off Roxxon. And we see, it'll make steam rising up from the vault. And we are back now in the present, where Thor has confronted Girl Thor.
You heard me, woman, whoever you are. That hammer does not belong to thee.
And she recognizes him. She's like, she's thinking to herself, Thor, oh my god, his arm.
I understand your concern, son of Odin, but this is not the time for such a discussion.
There is no discussion to be had. Put down the hammer, thief, and then tell me what have you done with my mother.
Your mother?
And we hear a hem coming from behind them. And it is, of course, Malekith and the Minotaurs there, too.
This seems like a rather personal matter, best settled between people of Thunder. Perhaps the Minotaur and I should wait outside.
It's my island, says the Minotaur. Perhaps you should all go to hell.
You also have something that belongs to me, elf. I will deal with you in a moment.
And we see that Thor's arm is actually still wrapped around Malekith's neck here.
We should deal with him now, says Girl Thor. Malekith has made a pact with the Frost Giants. They were here seeking the skull of...
I will hear no more words from you, pretender, while you still hold what is rightfully mine.
You need to remain calm, Odin's son. I am not your enemy.
Then what are you?
I am still trying to discern that myself. I just know that this is not the fight that you want.
Fight? Did you say you wanted a fight?
No, I said, calm thyself down. And she raises Mjolnir and taps him on the chest with it. And that pisses Thor off. And he's like, you dare. Now wait just one.
And we see Odin's son being smashed through a wall with a croom. And he's actually back out to where the frost giants are now. And it looks like we have about six or seven of them now back here again. And Thor is going after a girl. Thor says,
I will take that hammer, says Thor, with your arm still attached if need be.
And he has knocked her down. And she deflects his axe with a clung. And he's like,
I say thee nay.
And the two of them continue to scrap.
I have some words for you, Odin's son. Whoever holds this hammer shall possess the power of Thor.
And she belts him with Mjolnir, smashes him through the wall, and he goes crashing through the wall with a ugh, but didn't seem to slow him down too much, comes back out.
The power of Thor belongs only to Thor.
And he hurls the axe and knocks her down.
And you are not he,
and is trying to tackle her with a thoom, and he goes smashing up against the wall.
You have lost your axe, Prince of Asgard. You are unarmed. Ask for quarter, and it shall be given.
And Thor is blocking her blows with Mjolnir with his metal arm.
Do I seem unarmed to you, girl? To hell with your quarter, and with you.
And the giants are just kind of stand around watching.
Angry little worms, aren't they? If we stay out of the way, maybe they'll kill each other.
Where's the fun in that?
And so one of the giants trying to stamp on the two of them. And sends them both flying. And the girl Thor's like,
we should be fighting these giants, not one another. But once again, you are letting your rage get the best of you, Thor.
You know nothing of me, woman, says Thor.
Are you certain of that?
And he's like, unhand my hammer. And he reaches out to grab the hammer.
And the two of them are tussling over the hammer. In the meantime, the hammer is glowing and shooting out lightning.
I did not ask for this. The hammer chose me.
You bewitched it, says Thor. What manner of sorceress are you?
I am the goddess of thunder.
You are blasphemy. There cannot be two Thors.
And I guess Thor is one of the real Thor is one of the people who's summoning lightning here. And she's like,
you will not frighten me with thunder. I command the lightning too.
Command it all you like. You have no idea what it means to wield Mjolnir, what it costs. I would die for that hammer. I have died for it, and I will die again this day if need be.
Open your eyes. You cannot hold on to something you've already lost.
What makes you so worthy? Who are you beneath that mask?
I am the one holding the hammer. Who are you?
I am the one who will never let it go.
And there's this big explosion of lightning and a giant crack of coom. And a big explosion of light, and they both go flying. And Mjolnir starts just bouncing all around and smashing these frost giants. Doing this really elaborate ricochet thing, and he's like,
Mjolnir, Odin's beard. I've never seen it do that before.
And Mjolnir starts coming towards him, and he reaches out for it. He says,
yes, that's it. Come back to me, old friend. Come back to...
And Mjolnir baps his hand aside, just whacks it aside, and goes back to Girl Thor, who is now holding the hammer again. And Thor looks at her and starts walking up to her. And she's like,
Thor, I am truly am sorry.
In all of our years together, and all of our many battles, Mjolnir never flew like that for me. You have brought new life to that hammer, whoever you are. You are correct. It has chosen you.
And she's thinking to herself,
he's so sad. I hate to see him like this. I just want to hug him. Do superheroes hug each other?
Just tell me one thing, says Thor. Are you my mother? I know that she is missing, and I sense something of her nobility in...
And they are interrupted by Girl Thor leaning in and planting a big old smooch on him. It's like... And, they're done kissing, and she's like,
still think I'm your mother?
I certainly hope not, says Thor.
though we have met before, have we not? From whence do I know you?
I cannot answer that, but can you trust me, at least long enough for us not to die here this day?
And we see that a lot of the giants are starting to revive, and he's like,
no, but it would appear that the hammer trusts you, and I trust in the hammer.
Then shall we, God of Thunder?
Aye, we shall, Goddess of Thunder.
And the two of them are facing off against the giants. And we get a double-page spread here of Thor and Girl Thor. And they are smashing up the giants. And, you know, it's got all the lightning and shit coming out of Mjolnir. And Thor's slashing them up with his axe. And they're bleeding all this blue blood all over the place. And we have some narration here.
The hammer sings its song of thunder. A song I have heard countless times before, but never quite like this. I am Thor, Odin's son, Asgardian, Avenger, Prince of the Realm Eternal. I am destined to live until the end of time, to wear a crown and sit on a throne, or so the stories would have me believe. But with every giant that falls this day, with every rumble of thunder, with every roaring note of the hammer song, I die. I die a little more inside, and the more I die, the harder I swing the axe.
And we then cut to, you know, just a few minutes later probably, and all the giants are laying dead on the ground, and Malekith comes up to them and is like,
well then, Thors, I will be the first to admit, this was not one of my more successful endeavors. But do not think for one second, dear lady, that this ended when you smashed the skull of Laufey.
The skull of Laufey? Says Thor.
And tell me, Malekith, what is to stop me from ending you right here and now?
I will leave you to answer that for yourself. The duly elected king of Svartalfheim bids you good day.
And he opens up this sort of portal thing, and we see like a whole army of elves waiting on the other side. And the real Thor is like
hell he does. You invaded Midgard.
Technically the frost giants did that. I was never here.
This was your plan. You were the one scheming to start a war.
It will be you who starts one, Asgardian, if you lay so much as a hand on me. And it would appear a hand is all you have left.
And we see he still has Thor's arm hanging around his neck.
I will have that arm, elf, and your head.
What arm? I see no arm.
And all of a sudden the cut-off arm of Thor, just the light's on fire. It looks like it's just all burned up. And yeah, Malekith's using his magic to destroy it. And Thor's like,
no, damn you!
And the portal that he opened up is closing, and Thor's like,
burning my arm will not end this, Malekith. I will march into Svartalfheim itself if I must.
And he's swinging his axe, but the portal is closed. And we hear the laughter of Malekith echoing, and the voice comes from behind.
You don't have to go to Svartalfheim, Thor, but you can't stay here. You are both trespassing on Roxxon property, and it turns out to be Dario Agger. He's changed back into his human form, and he is accompanied by these sort of armed, funky guard things, and also Mr. Ulic, the troll. Please locate the nearest exit, or Ulic and my men will be forced to take action.
And Thor confronts him.
Agger, you and that troll have much to answer for as well.
They will answer, says Girl Thor, but not now. We are needed elsewhere, Thor. We have friends in peril.
And the two Thors start to walk away, and Girl Thor's like,
you are welcome, Dario Agger, for the saving of your island and your wretched life. Next time I assure you we will not be so generous.
Humph, what she said, says Thor.
And the two of them are walking away. And we get a little picture here of, you remember all the Avengers and all those people are frozen in the ice. So now we have all these people who are melting all the ice and rescuing all the people. And we have some captions here.
So ended the invasion of the frost giants. Mages came down from Asgardia to release those frozen in ice. Gods and Avengers, warriors and heroes, friends and mothers. It turns out that Freya was stuck inside the ice as well.
And Thor approaches her.
Lady Freya, you were frozen all this time, mother. What were you doing here?
What your father had not the sense or courage to do himself. We made a promise to the good people of Midgard, and I would not see that promise broken.
You led the warriors of Asgard against the giants?
to protect Midgard, all against Father's wishes. Mother, I did not think I could possibly love you more. I was wrong.
And she notices the metal arm, and she's like,
Your arm? Oh, my son, what has happened?
There have been great losses this day, Mother, but also a most unexpected arrival.
And we see in the background, we have some Asgardian types, and then we see Spider-Woman and Volstagg and Captain Falcon America, or Captain America and the Falcon is how I've been referring to him. And they're talking, of course, about Girl Thor, and Freya's like,
Who is she?
She is worthy, that is all I know.
And the Falcon's like, Whoever she is, she saved our butts.
She saved far more than your emaciated posteriors, Captain, says Volstagg. She saved this entire realm.
And Spider-Man is there. He says, Does she have a superhero name yet? Please tell her it's Thunder Woman, or Thorita, or Lady Hammerpants.
I did not ask for this. The hammer called to me, says Girl Thor. I did only what needed to be done. Please know, Thor, that I never...
No, says Thor. Do not call me by that name. I am not worthy of it.
Son, please, says Freya.
I am still the Prince of Asgard. I am still the Odin son. But she is Thor now.
What? No!
That hammer has the power to destroy worlds or to save them. Carry it well, Thor.
And so, weird scene. That's kind of strange. We'll talk about that in a bit.
I do not know what to say, she says.
She seems really awed by this.
I will carry it. I am the mighty Thor.
And she whips the hammer around, takes off with a whoosh. And we have, cut to Thor and Freya back on the island. And Thor is thinking to himself,
I am the Odin son. I am the unworthy. And this is the story of how I lost my hammer. But this is not the end of my tale.
Your father will hate this, says Freya.
Which makes me like it all the more, says Thor.
There is something familiar about her. Do you know who she is?
No, but I look forward to finding out.
And we cut to Girl Thor flying through the air, and she is smiling to herself. And we then get a little bit of a prologue here. We're on Roxxon Island, and we have a bunch of the Roxxon people and Malekith looking at a particular relic.
Please excuse the mess, says Agger. My last meeting got a bit out of hand. I assure you that will never happen again.
I find courtesy is such a lost art these days, don't you? More's the pity, I suppose. Now, please, if you don't mind, my good man, where in the bloody hell is it?
And we have Ulic, and he's pushing out like this floating cart thing, and it's got this giant glowing skull on it. Looks very different from the skull that we saw before.
Did you really think I would let some fool with a hammer smash one of my toys? That was the decoy skull, the one the giants were meant to steal. This is the genuine article, the skull of the Frost Giant King. As for the price, what say we start with a bargaining with... Everything I could ever possibly want.
And Malekith is like,
And what exactly is it that you want, Mr. Agger?
Realms. I want realms.
Ah, well then. Perhaps you and I can do business after all.
And that is Thor number 4. And of course, I do have a few thoughts about this, but we'll hear those right after this.
Hey, kids. Do you like comics?
Uh-huh.
Do you like Iron Man comics?
Uh-huh.
Do you want to learn more about Iron Man's downward spiral from alcoholism, fear of commitment, and feelings of inferiority, leading the egomaniac into a life of misery?
What?
Then listen to the Invincible Iron Cast Classics Edition, and see Tony Stark go from genius billionaire playboy philanthropist to genius billionaire playboy philanthropist. With awesome weaponized armor! Relive classic stories like Demon in a Bottle, Armor Wars, Doom Quest, and more, hosted by me, Mike Staley. So how about it, kids? Do you want to listen to the Invincible Iron Cast?
Uh-huh.
Well, too bad. You need to do your homework.
Aww.
The Invincible Iron Cast Classics Edition. On iTunes, or at invincibleironcast.podbean.com.
And we're back. And if any of you out there are not listening to the Invincible Ironcast, you should at least go back and listen to episode number 21, just because there's an awesome song parody at the end of the episode. And I'm not going to give it away, but it has something to do with the Mighty Thor. So you ought to go listen to that right now. All right, so talking about Thor number 4, again, you know, it's all right. You know, we're continuing on with the story at pace. The story, relatively good. We're basically wrapping up the storylines here. So we get a little more battly, and we get a little bit more of the Malekith and Dario Agger storyline with the skull. But the main, of course, showpiece this issue is the confrontation between the real Thor and girl Thor. And I have a couple of problems here, and I have to say, one of them is this idea that Thor is like, okay, well, you're Thor now, because Thor isn't a title. Thor is Thor's name. You know, that's Thor Odinson's name. And okay, yeah, I understand, you know, for a comic, you want to call her Thor Girl or whatever, you know, that's okay. But why not, you know, call her something other than Thor? This isn't the first time that we've had somebody who's been worthy to carry the hammer. This isn't the first time. It's like the fifth time. I mean, we had Beta Ray Bill. We had Thunderstrike. You know, we had all kinds of different people who are worthy to carry the hammer. Now, granted, when some of these other people were operating as Thor, the comic was still called Thor, and it still didn't cause any confusion. I gather that the real Thor was actually dead for a lot of that, but still. So it seems weird that he's like, okay, well, I can't be Thor anymore, so you're a Thor now. I mean, you could call her Thordis, or you could call her whatever the hell you want. You know, it doesn't make sense to me that he would so easily be won over by her and then say, well, okay, well, I'm not worthy to use my name anymore, so you can have it. So what this really reads like, as far as I'm concerned, is Jason Aaron saying, well, we've got to call the comic Thor, so we have to find a way to call her Thor. And that's, you know, you call her Goddess of Thunder or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do. I don't view Thor as a title that you can bequeath on somebody else. And I guess that's the big problem that I have with this. On the other hand, I understand that they have to keep calling the book Thor because that's why people are picking it up and reading it. But I think that they could have found a better way around it than that. And here we get the origin of Thor's metal arm. Now, what's interesting is that this is not the same metal arm that we saw in Thor God of Thunder. King Thor in that series had the Destroyer's arm. Very different from the arm that he is currently wearing. So there's another story to be told there as well. Whether we ever get it or not, I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, Jason Aaron is going to be so busy writing Star Wars comics that, yeah, we're never going to hear it. But it's interesting that they actually have a completely different metal arm than we later get in Thor God of Thunder. I just wanted to point that out. Artwork is generally pretty good. I'm liking the artwork for the most part. One thing that this artist does that drives me up the wall, though, is that he doesn't draw beards very well. Odin's looks okay. Volstagg's looks okay, but they're both kind of long, bushy beards. But like Thor's beard, it looks like it's you know, little like pieces of felt stuck to his face. It looks like something stuck onto his face rather than something he grew. Actually, what it reminds me of are in the 1970s when they changed the G.I. Joe figures to have, you know, fuzzy hair and beard rather than molded hair like they originally had. I know that kind of dates me, but that's really what it reminds me of. And it just really irritates me, and I'm not really sure why. Maybe, you know, it's just part of his style that I don't care for, which is a shame because a lot of the rest of the art is really, really good. He draws action really, really well, and I know I've talked about this in prior episodes, but I do actually like the way that Russell Dauterman draws. And the beards thing, you know, it should be a really small little thing, but every time he draws somebody with a beard like this, it just irks me. And it makes my skin crawl. I don't like it. But, you know, overall, you know, I'm giving this issue, you know, C+, B-. I think it's okay. And then next issue, we're going to have a guest artist, so it's going to be a little bit different. But anyway,
that about wraps it up for this week. Once again, folks, thanks very much for listening. If you want to email the show, you can do so. And that email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Just look for Radio Free Asgard on Facebook and you will find us. And we are now also on Twitter. So, if you're not a member of our Twitter community yet, please join. Yeah, please follow us. And, of course, if I'm not already following you, and I know I'm following a bunch of people who I know listen to the show, then certainly give us a follow, and I will follow you back. And with that, I am back over the Rainbow Bridge, back to Midgard, and we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.